That's why we're here. We want him to appoint us a place in the New Jerusalem. Good to see every one of you, and we're glad to be together to sing these wonderful songs, these wonderful hymns. I'm glad we have hymns about being evangelistic. We need to remember to be evangelistic, to seek for souls all around us, and to mention to just come to go to church with me. That's all you got to do. You can say that. And we're glad that we can sing those songs, which puts us in mind of what we need to do. So that's a good thing. You know, these songs are wonderful, and I'm glad we're able to sing these songs. Somebody wrote a song that says, "There is no God like Jehovah." I think that song should actually be rewritten to say, "There is no God but Jehovah," not "no God like Jehovah." There isn't any other gods. There is no God but Jehovah. And we're glad tonight that we're under his watchful care, that we're able to assemble tonight and be under the care of the Lord, and him seeing us being here tonight. I'm glad you didn't stay home and watch some silly old football game that doesn't mean anything at all, that you're here tonight to show God your dedication and devotion. Now tonight we want to turn to our Bibles to the New Testament book of Galatians. And as you turn there, the book of Galatians was written for a purpose. There were Judaizing teachers that were coming along and teaching them that they must be circumcised, that they must live according to the law of Moses, and in particular, that the male members were to be circumcised, and it was causing a disturbance there. And so in Galatians 5, this is why it says in verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." They were having bitter dissension over these false doctrines. And that's what false doctrine does. It doesn't unite. It doesn't cause harmony. It doesn't cause unity. False doctrines cause hard feelings and divisions and arguments and wranglings. And that's one of the reasons why those things are in this list. We're going to study the list tonight of the works of the flesh. And many of these works of the flesh have to do with being bitter and having seditions and divisions and hatred and all of that. And it was because of the troubles in the church. Now, this is a list of the works of the flesh, and I want to read them with you now. Beginning in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Now I'm reading for the King James Version. And so it says, "Which are these? Adultery." Now, so I know that some versions don't include that word, but the King James Version does. "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, one of the reasons why we want to discuss this list, this list has 17 sins. There are 17 sins here. And the reason why we want to discuss this is because they'll keep us out of heaven. They're dangerous. You know, if someone has a can of gasoline and they're pouring that gasoline out and they have some matches and they're flipping the matches up in the air, you know, they're playing with something dangerous. They can get hurt. They can be burned. That fire can cause destruction and harm and maim you and kill you. Now that's dangerous in a physical sense, but this is more dangerous, playing around with these sins in this list, because these will keep us out of heaven. You know, there is danger in this physical world, but there's even more serious danger to us spiritually. And so one of the reasons why we want to study this list of sins, and by the way, they were a major factor in the world at that time. And you know what? We still have the same sins going on in our world today. So we want to talk about these sins so that we can avoid them. We can keep them out of our lives. We don't ever want to be involved in these. Now, there seems to be four categories of sins, and that's how we're going to study them. The first category of sins is the sins of lust, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, or lasciviousness. The second category of sins seems to be sins of authority, which is idolatry and sorcery. And then you have sins of attitude, and that's the longest list. Hate, contentions, jealousies, wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies. And then the fourth category of sin is sins of the appetite, which is drunkenness and revelries. And so we're going to discuss these four, this list, and under these heading of these four categories. So the first one listed there in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, God's making known what the works of the flesh are. And that is, first of all, and I'm reading from the King James Version, is adultery. Now, adultery is is a sexual sin, and it's sort of narrow. It only deals with one kind of person, and that's a married person. And so a married person has loyalties only to their spouse and to their spouse alone. A husband should be loyal to his wife and his wife alone. The wife should be loyal to her husband and her husband alone. But if they're not loyal and they have sexual relationships outside of their marriage, that's called adultery. And that's adultery. And it's a common sin. A married person having physical intercourse with someone not their spouse is adultery. And it's in the movies. It's glamorized. And it's in the songs, country western songs and other songs as well. And it's on the internet. It's everywhere. It's on television. They have television programs. Soap operas often deal with the sin of adultery. And it happens to Christians too. Christians get involved in the sin of adultery. It's a very serious sin. It's a sin of the lust of the flesh. And we must not ever be a part of that. And so let's dedicate ourselves tonight to remain pure by never committing the sin of adultery. The second sin in our list is fornication. Now, it's a much broader term. Fornication is also sexual sins. It can include adultery, but it can include a lot of other things. Under the heading of fornication is all illicit sexual activity, such as homosexuality. And it even includes something as perverse, and yet people do this. It's bestiality. It's terrible. It's awful, but people are perverted. And so fornication has all of these connotations, all these sexual activities. Now, sometimes this word is translated fornication. And sometimes it's translated whoremonger. That's what a whoremonger is. Now, if people are living together outside of marriage, they're just what they call cohabiting, that's fornication. They're not married. They're not married to one another. They're not married to someone else. They're just living together. And you know how common that is. That's common around the world. And I've even had people who came to church cohabiting together, wanting to become members of the Lord's church, and wanting to be a part of the Lord's church, living in the sin of fornication. People do not understand what that is. Now, if someone has a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they may not be living together, but they're having sexual relationships with one another. That's fornication. The word is also translated whoremonger, such as in Hebrews 13 and verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. The bed in marriage is undefiled. Marriage is honorable. But then the passage ends by saying, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Whoremongers, yes, that's a fornicator. and it's called a whoremonger. And so I'm kind of glad that word is there too, because prostitution would be involved in that sin as well. And so we must avoid these very commonplace sins as adultery and fornication. Then the next thing that's mentioned there is uncleanness. And because adultery is mentioned first, and because fornication is mentioned second, and because lasciviousness is mentioned right after that, this uncleanness is evidently associated with moral uncleanness. Moral uncleanness, in which that would be watching dirty movies. That would be watching or looking at dirty magazines or dirty pictures. And those would be considered unclean. You're keeping your mind unclean. You'll remember that Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 28, if a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her, commits adultery with her in his heart. And so we can commit sins in our hearts by looking at the wrong information. You should not be watching movies that would be suggestive of these sins. They're unclean. We should never be looking at magazines or anything that would cause us to think unclean thoughts, because lusting is a sin. If you look upon a woman and lust after her, that's a sin according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. And then the next word that is mentioned there, and I want to also say about that uncleanness, I want to mention pornography. I did mention dirty movies, and I did mention, I used the word dirty pictures and dirty magazines. That's pornography. And pornography is a very common material in our world today. People can become addicted to pornography. There are groups, like there are AA groups for alcoholics, and there's Gamblers Anonymous, by the way. There's also groups that meet to try to break the habit of pornography. It's very addictive. It's very destructive. Pornography can destroy your home. It can destroy your life. And it can cause you to lose your soul. And I just really want to impress on our minds to stay away from this. To not involve yourself. You know, Satan, he's right around. He's right around every corner. You know, I would knock doors over here in Western Lakes, but you know what? You get chased by a dog. Them dogs will chase you down. But you know the devil's going to chase you down too. The devil's like a lion, a roaring lion. And it says that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And just like you go by the house of a mean dog and he'll come out there and bite you on the leg, Satan is trying to creep around every corner to get us to sin in some way so that you'll lose your soul. And pornography is one of those. I know of cases where pornography has caused divorce. It shouldn't. It shouldn't. That's not a reason for divorcing your spouse and marrying another. That is not a reason. But that's what some people do. They use that for a reason to divorce. Now the next word here is lasciviousness. And I know we don't use that word. We're not familiar with that word. But it is the word that means lewdness. Lewdness. We have become so saturated with lewdness, we don't even know what it is when we see it. In the 1950s, I believe it was 1956, Elvis Presley appeared on, I don't know if what show it was, Ed Sullivan or whatever, New York City. They would not show on the camera below his waist. Do you know why? Because of lewdness. Because people in that time and that age understood what lasciviousness was and what lewdness was. And so this term lasciviousness means outrageous behavior, open shame. Joseph H. Thayer says it even means the unchaste handling of males and females and indecent bodily movements. Michael Jackson is widely accepted as one of the great entertainers, but he put his hand somewhere that showed lewdness every time he danced. And that is lewdness, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to avoid that. That is not something we want to be involved in. We have become so inundated with these images day after day, week after week, month after month, and all of this media, that we sit there and don't think anything of it. Beyoncé is a lewd woman. She is a lascivious woman. Her entertainment is not pure. And so let us be warned about these things. We cannot act like the world. The Bible says that we're to be transformed. We're not to be conformed to this present world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12 and verse number 2. And so these things God forbids. These are things that will keep us out of heaven. And these are things that are actually addictive. Sin is addictive. And we want to avoid these very destructive elements that can destroy us spiritually. And the devil uses all of these tactics to try to draw us into that and defeat us in our efforts in getting to heaven. Now, those were sins of lust. And now we have the sins of authority, idolatry, and witchcraft. Let's talk about those. Witchcraft is widely used in our world, and idolatry is as well. Now, in the Old Testament, they had actual images carved. Some were carved, some were made out of gold, some were made out of silver, some were made out of stone. We had a lesson about this not long ago. We talked about idolatry. They were physical idols. Now we have mental idols. Now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, there are several things mentioned there. Evil desires or evil concupiscence. We're told to mortify the members of our body that are upon the earth. And it lists several things. Now, one of the things it lists there is covetousness. And right after it, covetousness is, of course, desiring and having greed and wanting things. And one of the things that people are greedy for is money and riches. And the Bible calls it mammon. Mammon. And he says, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Now, idolatry is a mental thing, not a metal. It's not made out of gold necessarily or an image made out of silver. It's a matter pertaining to our mental desires. Now, in Matthew 6 and 24, Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters, he says. Notice he says masters. Then he says you cannot serve God and mammon. Guess what mammon is? It can become our master. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, those that will be rich, not those that are rich, but those that will be rich fall into divers temptations and lust and drown themselves in perdition and destruction. And so money and idolatry, of course, is putting an object before God. And I don't know anybody that here that would, but you put objects before God. I'm sure somebody stayed home to watch a football game tonight. You just couldn't stay away from it. And they're putting that before God of all things. Some people put fishing before God. They'll go fishing on Sunday. They won't worship. They'll go play golf or whatever. And so those are sins of authority. You're letting something else lead you. Something else takes the place of God. Remember Matthew 19? We talked about this in that lesson on idolatry. That young man comes to Jesus and said, What do I need to do to have eternal life? Remember, he says, keep the commandments. He says, I've done that. What do I lack? And Jesus said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. He couldn't do that. Why? Money was his master. He wanted to have eternal life, but he couldn't let go of his master. And he went away sorrowful, the Bible says. And then Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard for a rich man because he's allowed his money to become his master. And so materialism, this is very common in our world today. It was common in the world of Jesus' day, and it's common today. But what about this witchcraft? Or sorcery, I believe some translations have. How many times, now you don't see them as much now, but you've driven through town and you've seen a big old sign in the front of somebody's house that has a palm on it. It's the picture of a hand, and it says, palm reader. And they used to have these call-in, whatever kind of numbers they were, you called in and talked to a psychic. That's witchcraft. Have you ever heard of a medicine man? Have you ever heard of a shaman? You ever heard of voodoo? You know, we think voodoo, oh, that's silly. But you know, in islands of the Caribbean and in various places in the world, voodoo is very alive and very well. That's witchcraft. Palm readers, that's witchcraft. Medicine man, that's witchcraft. He put a spell on somebody. That's witchcraft. And so it's sins of authority. You think the stars, oh, I'm a Leo. I was born under the sign of Leo, so therefore I'm such and such, and I'm this or that or whatever. As if the stars have power over you. No, it's God who made the stars. He has the ultimate power. It's not the stars. And so all of that has to do with witchcraft. Now, there's another thing about this word witchcraft and this terminology here. It comes from a Greek word, pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy from that. And so also involved in this witchcraft and sorcery and black magic and so forth are various types of drugs, even back then. You know, the Indians, even here in our day and time, they want to use that peyote. They want to use the peyote. Well, this passage will not allow that for the Christian if he's an American Indian. He couldn't do that because this word right here forbids that. That is a work of the flesh. Heroin is a work of the flesh. LSD, that's a work of the flesh. They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we want to be very clear on this so that you and I can avoid them so that we not lose our souls. And now we get to the category of the sins of attitude, and this is the longest list. These are 17. We have 17 total sins, and here's the category of the sins of the attitude. Now remember, they were experiencing, remember verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. There was great bitterness. There was wranglings over these false teachings, this Judaism that was being taught there. And so what would that cause? Well, that would cause, number one, it says in verse number 20, hatred. God has not given you or me permission to hate anybody. Did you know that? We don't have God's permission to hate anybody. Yeah, but that person hurt my mama. That person hurt my little child. No, you don't have permission from God to hate anybody. Hate has generated so much misery in this world. Yeah, but they're my enemy. Well, Matthew 5, 43 through 48 says, love your enemy. Yeah, but they're my ornery neighbor. Well, Matthew 22, 37 through 39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, but they're a brother in Christ, and I just We had cross words with one another. Yes, but John 13, 34 and 35, the disciples were told to love one another as Christ loved us. We do not have permission from God to hate anyone. That's why it's in this list. It's in this list, and we want to keep this out of our heart. Listen, God's going to settle every score that needs settling. And you should be satisfied with that. Yeah, that person did this. You know what? God's going to take care of that person. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about a thing. I was told of a person who was molested when they were a child. It made me mad. But then they said, well, that person passed away. I said, well, then God's taking care of that person. He's taking care of them. God settled that score. God did it right. So I don't have to hate anybody. We aren't given permission to hate anyone. We live in a world of hate. In Washington, D.C., what spews out of that place is bitterness and hate. I don't want to be a part of any of that. And it has caused so much misery and so much discord. How many times do you think this phrase has been stated, has been said? I hate you. How many times do you think this has been said in the world? I hate that man. I hate that woman. I hate that place. I hate this. I hate that race. We should never say that. That should never come out of our mouth. We are not allowed. We do not have God's permission to hate anybody. Period. That is a work of the flesh. And we need to rid that from our hearts because it will cause us to lose our soul. But in the next place, the Bible says hatred, and then it says variance. Now that word has a meaning, and it's just like these other words. They have meanings. And I tell you what I did. I went and wrote all those words down in the back on this blank piece of page on my Bible. I wrote them all down so I can't forget what they say. And I can turn back there and I'll say, what does that variance mean? And that variance means simply strife and contentions and wranglings. That's what's happening in Washington, D.C. That's what happens when these people march in the street. They start wranglings and contentions and strife. It happens in politics, but it's not to happen in your home. You're not to have wranglings in your home and variance in your home. It's not to happen in this church. It's not to happen in your neighborhood. You're not to have variance. You're not allowed that. I'm not allowed that. God wants to save us from that misery. Then the next word here, and we're going to have to move along, is the word emulations. And I don't know if you're writing in the margin of your Bible or not, but that means jealousies. That is a bad attitude. That is a sinful attitude. It's a very sinful sin to have jealousies. You might say, well, that person never gave me a gift. Well, that's jealousy. It doesn't make any difference if they gave you a gift or not. We're not to be jealous of anyone in our family or anyone else. The next word is emulations, wrath. That's a swelling anger, an explosive anger. And you know when someone gets angry real fast, they have violent words. They call it out here on the highway, they call it road rage. It's a sudden anger because somebody pulled over in front of me real fast and it just made me mad. So I just got right up there on their bumper and I just got really mad at them. I'm going to show them that I'm angry. Well, it's very common. But it is also sinful. God doesn't allow us to do that. Let's control that wrath in our lives. And then the Bible says strife. This strife starts over factions and contentions. These people in the churches of Galatia were competing with one another. The truth was being taught, but then the error was being taught. And so there was much strife there, and there was the biting and devouring one another that was happening there in those churches, and it was sad. The next word in our list is seditions. And of course, that means divisions and factions. Don't ever start division and a faction in a church. God's not happy with that. God wants us to have unity. We should never cause divisions in the body of Christ. I was preaching at a congregation one time, and some of the members got dissatisfied over whatever. And so on Wednesday night, the church was coming together in the building to meet, and they were meeting in a house. They were meeting in the house the same time the church was meeting in the church building. We had a meeting over that. I said, why are you dividing the church? We're not dividing the church. I said, looks like to me you are. You're meeting over there the same time we're meeting over here. That looks like division to me. And they'd never had that pointed out to them. And they said, we see what you mean there. Now, they were dissatisfied. That was the reason why they were meeting. But seditions are not allowed in the Lord's church. We should never be dividing like that. And then the Bible says heresies. Well, you know what they were dividing over? The matter of circumcision. Circumcision was a practice under the Old Testament. It is not a practice under the New Testament. And therefore, to make it a practice of the New Testament, it was an opinion. And that's what heresies come from. It comes from opinions that are contrary to the Bible and leads to division. That's like some people try to say, well, we got to have head coverings for the women, or we got to drink out of one cup for the Lord's Supper. That's a heresy. That's an opinion that does not come from the Bible. If you want to drink out of one cup, that's fine with me. But don't force your opinions on everybody else for them. You want to wear something on your head? You want the women to wear something on their head? Go ahead. But don't cause division in the Lord's church over that. And then the Bible says envyings. You know, Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew 27, was delivered up to Pilate. And Pilate says, I know he was delivered up because of their envy. They were envious of Christ because the multitudes were following Jesus. You know, when he came into Jerusalem, and this is when they arrested him, the multitudes were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David. They were crying out praises unto him. And the Pharisees didn't like that. They were envying him. And envyings are feelings of displeasure because somebody else is doing well, and you may not feel like you're doing as well as they are. And you want to have what others have. And so that's not what God wants us to have in our hearts. He does not want us to have envyings in our hearts. And then the Bible says envyings and then murder. Now, we were talking about abortion this morning, and we mentioned the fact that it is murder. And murderers, the Bible says in 1 John 3:15, that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so murder is something that God forbids. Abortion is murder because that is the taking of a human life. You know, do you know how inconsistent our world is in talking about abortion, killing the unborn? Remember Scott Peterson? He was convicted of 2 murders. This is crazy, but he was. Murdering his wife and the death of his unborn son. Unborn son. Well, at the abortion clinics, they're killing the unborn left and right, but they convicted him of 2 murders. That's inconsistent. That shows that that life inside the mother is recognized. Should have made that point this morning, but I failed to do that. But murder is wrong. Then in the next place, this is a sin of the appetite, and that is drunkenness. Now, over and over and over in the New Testament, and here's the real point about drinking. People say, well, where does it say, you know, we just don't get drunk? You know, the Bible says over and over in the New Testament, be sober. Titus 2:11-12 says, the grace of God that appeared to all men, has appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously, holy and soberly and righteously in this present world. And so we're to live sober. First Thessalonians 5:6-8, it says several times there, be sober. Don't be drunk. You're children of the day. The children of the night, they're drunk, but you're not children of the night. You're children of the day. Be sober. By the way, that's sober in contrast to drunkenness. And in contrast with drinking, we're not to drink, we're to be sober. And so the Bible talks about sins of our appetite. And then finally, the final sin here that's mentioned by name is revelings. Now that word has a meaning, it has a definition. It means feasting, carousing, drinking, unrestrained. You ever heard of Fat Tuesday? That's revelings, where they go down to Bourbon Street and in New Orleans, and they just drink and drink. Fat Tuesday is where you sin. You can sin all you want to on Fat Tuesday. You can do all the evil you want to. And then on Ash Wednesday, you're supposed to take it all back. And that's revelings. I would never go down to that event, because I don't think God would be happy with a Christian participating or even attending that. Satan tries to deceive us all of the time. But I want you to notice also that it says in this passage, he says, and he repeats it, well, he says this, and such like, which means what? This list isn't complete. Somebody said, well, it didn't mention this or it didn't mention that. That's not a complete list. And such like, anything like that. You know, we just need to be really honest. I don't believe everybody is honest with themselves and with the Bible. And they try to, you know, I think the more liberal a person is, the less they take sin seriously. You take the political liberals, they don't take sin seriously. You take a doctrinal liberal, and I'll guarantee you they don't take sin seriously. They just don't do it. It's no big deal to them. But we need to be honest with ourselves and realize that sin will keep us out of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, it says, whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And in the very next verse he says, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Get rid of that wandering eye, or you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. God's word is our standard. It's our standard. Not the world, not the politics, not the morality of the world. That's not the standard for us. Don't say. And you know, the devil wants us to say, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that big a deal. You know, God's grace will just cover it all in the end. Don't believe that. Those are deceptive comments. Don't ever say sin's not that bad. Oh, it's just a little white lie, which is really, in essence, saying that lie don't count. That lie's not serious. You know, that's not even true. That's not true. And so don't let yourself be deceived into committing any of these sins. I want to read two verses and then we're finished. And that is in Romans 13:14. It says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what the Bible says. That's God's counsel. We are not to make provision for the flesh. Don't even make an attitude that makes provision for the flesh. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means be pure. And then the last verse is Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12 and verse 14, and we'll call this to a close tonight. But here it says, Hebrews 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And so we want to live a holy life. It's very dangerous to play with matches and gasoline. It's more dangerous to play around with these sins that we've talked about today. Playing with gasoline and matches will hurt you physically, but playing around with these sins will keep you out of heaven. Matter of fact, it'll give you a miserable life here and cause you to live in misery throughout eternity. I'm glad we've been here, and I'm glad you've come tonight. God has blessed us with a wonderful day, and He's allowed us the privilege of coming together and having this important Bible study here this evening. Now, we don't want to close a service without, and we've talked about 17 sins tonight, very serious matters, and you may have seen that, well, I've got that, I've had that problem, I'm jealous, I'm envious, whatever. I've had a problem with this, or pornography, or something. I've been had a problem with that. I need to make it right. Well, we want you to make it right, and so does God. So this invitation is for you or anyone else who needs to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of their sins. This song is for you, to invite you to come. And if you need to come this evening, do so as we stand and sing.